This is episode 107, recorded on May 3rd, 2013. Packard Pokes at Angry Adam Atheist.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us from the state of no snow, Joe Unseen.
Packard. Packard. Packard.
Yes, Sheldon.
Stop it, Leonard. Stop it, Sheldon.
And joining us from the far east coast is Medusa Rance on her surfboard.
On the east coast?
On the west coast. Joining us from the west coast is Medusa Rance on her surfboard.
Naked, hang 10, baby.
Well, if I'm naked out on a surfboard, it's hang 13. So.
Oh, that's an image in my mind now. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Okay, well, we have a lot of good stories for you tonight. Let's get going to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
A movie is a cast of 1,000 or 1,000 characters. Well, there's a movie that IBM just put out. Yes, IBM put out a movie of 1,000 atoms. Well, actually, probably a little less than that. They took single atoms, and they did 250 single-frame photos of them dragging an atom over a copper surface, and they took like stop-motion animation on this. It looks like something you would see in a cartoon or something like this. What's really interesting about this fact is that this was done with a tunneling microscope. It was invented by IBM 3 decades ago. The tool allows the scientists to visualize a single atom. Now, what's really interesting is the fact is that this machine can, because this is the fact that it can see an atom. Most people say we can't see anything below what we can actually see in our and touch, but we can actually see and move around atoms. Now, the really interesting part about this is that they didn't do this just for shits and giggles. They did this to prove that they can manipulate stuff at the atomic level. So if they can move atoms around, who knows what kind of technologies are going to come out of this. Joe, your thoughts?
This movie was just fantastic. It had action, a solid moral story, and a great score. I've seen it a dozen times already, and I can't wait for the director's cut.
I'm waiting for the porno version to come out myself.
Right, yeah. You know, IBM has done this before. Like, they arranged atoms into the IBM logo, and I saw that picture a few years ago, and I was like, wow, that's so cool they can do that. Well, here they actually, like, as you mentioned, took stop-motion photos of the atoms in different arrangements, and they made a little movie. It was, I think, 250 frames long, and it's pretty interesting. Like, it has a boy, and he's bouncing an atom around like a ball, and then he gets on a trampoline and starts jumping. And some of that animation, I could imagine, was pretty frustrating to make because, you know, they had to move all those atoms up and then down again.
Yeah, and you said the part about him jumping around on a trampoline, and there was one part there, he was actually blinking his eye. I thought that was kind of cool, too, is it's the fact that they actually made it blink. You know, I'm wondering if they cut an atom in half, or they just removed the atom, took it out, you know, to make it look like, and put it back in between the frames to make it look like he had been blinking, you know. That was really kind of cool. Medusa, your thoughts?
Bang zoom. That's what I said when I don't understand one iota of what's being said. When I read this article, the only thing I could think of was that movie with Dennis Quaid, when he was in a little spaceship and they put him in a body. I can see this being used most likely in a medical setting where they need to get into a body, into a particular organ, and see it on a molecular level. So I can see how this technology could actually, down the road, save lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what's most exciting for me, because I used to work in medicine, and so many people are suffering, and it's so hard to diagnose people that, you know, I see that happening with this technology.
Yeah, I think what they're doing here, since IBM is doing this, they may be using it for medical purposes, but I think they're more likely doing this for data storage purposes. It says here the stop-motion film made the world's smallest magnetic bit using just 12 atoms, according to IBM. Now, it's astounding considering that the bit of data on average of a computer or electronic device today is made up of roughly 1 million atoms. A chip the size of a fingernail, using the researchers' 12-atom bits, would be able to store all the movies ever made, which I think is really kind of cool. Considering the fact is that we are, as consumers, we are not only watching more movies and TV and making more consumables, but I should say we're also making more content. YouTube alone has got all kinds of content on there. So we need more places to store all this information. So if we can store this down at the atom level, there could be, who knows what we can do with it from that point.
Better movies at the hospital.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, probably. Well, if we get better, you know, we don't need better movies at the hospital. We need better food on the airlines. But
we need better food at the hospital, too.
Well, yeah, there, too. Yes. But yeah, exactly. But anyway, it's still amazing. I mean, I would like to see him make a ham sandwich out of this. No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus.
It would make it a lot easier. Let's get on to our next story here. Google has banned self-updating Android apps. If you have an Android phone and you have applications on there so you can play games or, you know, just do your basic baking or whatever you have, they make an app for everything nowadays. What Google is doing now is they're banning self-updating Android apps. Now, the problem here with apps that update on their own on a mobile device is that someone can come along and spoof the application that they put on your phone to put in malicious code. And Androids are notorious for downloading apps that have malicious code on them. So let's just say you're looking for a banking software, and you find something that looks like it's banking software, and you start asking questions, you put in your banking information, and the next thing you know, when it updates, it's a hack code. And then they've taken a copy of all your information. What they're doing is that through the Google Play Store, you are not allowed to update that application except through them. Apple already has something like this. If you have an application on your phone and you need to update it, it has to go to Apple servers first. They review it. They review the update, make sure there's no funny business going on there, and then they push it out to the consumer. And that generally that's great for the consumer because the fact is it's safer for one, and two, if the apps are only updating through the Play Store, then there's almost nothing you have to do. It'll just open up and update right there. But if you're trying to do from third party, you're going to be blocked. But there are ways around that, but to do something like that is just very unsafe, especially in the Android platform. Joe, your thoughts?
I'm so glad I have an iPhone and I don't have to worry about stupid shit like third-party apps and malware on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, yeah, I can't get some of the offensive and funny apps that Android users can get, but at least my device is safe from nonsense, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This article described a third-party app market as the Wild West.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, when it comes to something important like keeping my phone working, I don't want to mess around with stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Crystal calls Apple snobs.
What did she say?
She called us Apple snobs.
Apple snobs, yes. Well, I am. I kind of am. I mean, but I, you know what? My phone is jailbroken, so I actually have to worry about this problem. But because I can pick and choose, I'm not completely unsafe with it. But I am. I do validate anything I put on my phone.
Crystal, the proper term is fanboy.
That's right.
Fanboys. Oh, I can't believe this.
That's right.
If you want to get all derogatory about it.
Right. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that, Joe?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Medusa, your thoughts?
Fanboys. That's what you are. I don't have that type of phone, so I don't have to worry about that either. And I wish Crystal was here, because I don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have that kind of phone yet, so I have a Windows phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
All that. Let's all laugh at that.
Wait, you're serious? I thought that was a joke.
What kind of Windows phone do you have? Do you have the Windows 7 pizza phone?
Yeah, okay. That's the kind. My mommy got it for me.
Ah.
It's the pizza phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. It's just you talk on it.
You mean a phone? Wait. Hold on. You mean they make phones you can actually talk on? Okay, now I'm jealous. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, our phones nowadays do so much that, you know, the fact is that they do hold a lot of information. And
I feel so left out.
Yes. Well, just storing personal numbers alone right there is a database. Most people don't remember half the numbers of all the people that they – and addresses of all their friends and families. That's what most people use their phones for nowadays. It's just an extra memory. But
yeah, exactly.
Right. So – and if this – data gets compromised by a malicious programmer out there, then your information is just not safe. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip.
And tonight we're going to be doing our tubing around section. We were going to do it last week, but we kind of got a little distracted and we kind of forgot, which on this show is always happens. We tend to distract ourselves quite well on this show. But tonight's tubing around section video is a video that Medusa found at the site called the Atheist Hub. They promote other videos and so forth. So we're going to play that video right now.
Now, today I'm going to be talking about morality. I know it's an issue that's been touched on by a lot of other atheists, but I think it's worth hammering the point home until it's made properly and until the fundamentalists in this world get the picture. Now, despite the ingrained guilt of religious belief, if a believer does something truly wrong and guilt-worthy, that guilt, if any, that they feel can be unjustly removed in an instant by asking God for forgiveness. Even the guilt that isn't instantly removed, they can still rest assured that God has taken care of it. They know that no matter what they do, God's forgiveness and unconditional love is theirs. Now, is it just me or does that sound dangerous? Whereas atheists realize that if they do wrong, that's entirely their own responsibility and their own fault.
And the video that we just saw, it was brought to us by The Closet Atheist on YouTube. So give him a shout on YouTube and let him know you heard him on the show. And we invite The Closet Atheist to come on the show and talk a little bit about this video and tell us a little bit more about it, because it was done really well. It's actually the video itself is actually quite a little bit longer. It's about 7 minutes long, but we're only going to feature about a minute worth. And that was probably the best minute worth right there. The Closet Atheist, if you're out there, come visit us out here on the show. We'd love to have you as a guest out here at Peck and Pokes At. Just get in touch with us on YouTube, and we would love to talk with you. Medusa, since you found this video, would you tell us a little bit about what you about it?
I just like the topic of Christians being able to get away with murder, literally, by saying, Jesus loves me. Mm-hmm. And everything is forgiven. I just don't believe in that type of morality, as the speaker was saying. You have to own your own mistakes in this life to grow as a person. I just don't think Christians, they're not fully mature. Taking responsibility for your actions shows that you are a mature individual. If you're unable to do that, you've got a lot of growing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get away with murder saying, Jesus loves me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works in the real world. In the real world, you're put in the slammer and they execute you.
Yes.
That's how it works. That's how taking responsibility for your actions functions. So that's what I found interesting about the video, how he was ideating those thoughts.
Yes.
So,
you know, what's interesting is that this video was made shortly before, out in Pennsylvania, a family had had one child die because they wanted to pray over the child instead of taking it to the hospital. And then they had a second child die, and because they prayed over that one too, and So they're not taking they didn't take any responsibility for their either one of those children because they wanted to leave it in God's hands.
And they should go to jail.
And they the first time they were just put on probation. The second time they've finally taken away the rest of their seven other children. You know, but anyway, that's not about this. The point of this is the fact is that Christians don't generally take responsibility for their actions because they will be looking for using Jesus or God as an escape or a way out from what they're doing.
A spiritual out.
Right. I mean, yeah. Not all Christians, but a good portion of them. Some of them take responsibility for their actions, but a lot of them don't. And they will use God as an excuse to get their way out of whatever wrong they've done. But anyway, all right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Washington State Republicans have introduced a measure to legalize LGBT discrimination. And Republicans in there. The law that they're trying to push through is going to allow businesses to discriminate based on sincerely held beliefs, sincerely held religious beliefs, or philosophical beliefs. Now, it says here that Washington State Senator Sherrod Brown and 11 other Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill to legalize discrimination against gays and lesbians based on the business owner's sincerely held religious beliefs, philosophical beliefs, or matters of conscience. The measure would also go to undermine the current state anti-discrimination law. Now, it did say here that if somebody came into the business and wanted to get their services, like a gay couple had come in to this one bakery and they wanted to get a cake made, and the people there said, oh no, because it would go against our Jeebus. And they got sued. And rightfully so, because if you can sell cakes to or pies or whatever to somebody who's straight, then you can sell them to a gay person. And just because of your religious beliefs don't mean shit. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is unbelievable. They want to legalize discrimination by saying that they are protecting religion. So what does that tell you about the religion?
Yes.
I mean, that's like legalizing cross burning on a black people's lawn.
Thank you. They
wouldn't want to infringe on the religious beliefs of the KKK. I mean, the poor KKK needs legal protection, and a flower shop owner is pissed off about gay weddings, so they need protection too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yes, it is. It really is. It's just the fact that sometimes people like this, they just leave me speechless because there is what more can I say? I mean, how wrong do you have to be before you have to be told that you're fucking this badly wrong? I mean, this is discrimination, plain and simple. I was reading this when I read this article. I had such a facepalm. I almost scratched my own eyeballs out because I was giving myself such a face rake on this. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, they're trying to drag us back into the civil rights era. What are they going to do? Have bathrooms for gays and straight people? I mean, this is just patently absurd. And that's why they have Washington State way up at the top of the country, away from everyone else, mm-hmm. because they're crazy up there. The Supreme Court is going to litigate this and shoot it down, and it's not even going to pass the state Supreme Court before it's shot down in its tracks. It's just absolutely preposterous. What are gay people supposed to carry papers like Jews did in Nazi Germany?
Oh, I bet you Republicans would love to have that. Show us your papers, please! We want to see if you're straight or gay!
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought when I read that article. And I laughed because we're just not going there.
Yes.
You know? We've been there before and we're not going back. So they can chew on their bill all they want because it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
It's going to get quashed.
I hope so. I really hope so because this is such a fucking bullshit that the Republicans... Overall, in general, I said this on last week's show. They're bad for this country, and they're bad for you out there. You get these people out of office. The country is moving forward. The Republicans are trying to drag us back. And you know what? We don't want to go back. We want to move forward. Time moves forward. You know, there's
not
nothing
backwards.
You can do about it. Yeah, that's right. Not backwards. If you want to go backwards, go build yourself a fucking time machine and then go back to the Stone Age where you fucking belong. I am so tired. I am so tired of Republicans this last 7 years.
They keep finding new ways to alienate themselves from the society at large.
I don't care. If they want to alienate themselves, they can alienate themselves all they want. But what they're doing is they're fucking turning everybody against people who the only thing that they have that they don't like about what they're doing is having sex with a person of their same gender.
And
big fucking deal.
Why are they thinking about that all the time?
Well, because most of the time the people who are the strongest opponents of gay marriage or gay sex are generally people who are closet gay. Generally, and there's been a lot of study on this. There are people who are gay who are against gay people. Generally, later on, come out because they were gay. They don't want anybody else validating who they are. That's what it boils down to. Anyone still have any comments left on this?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Let's get on to our next story here. Melissa Martinez, a heroic California teen, stopped a sex offender from kidnapping a little boy. Now she was 13 at the time, which is this year. She was trying to stop. She saw a man trying to kidnap a little boy. She sprang into action and fought him off. Now she was playing basketball with two other kids, and John Jenkins, a registered sex offender, swooped in and tried grabbing the little 8-year-old boy from the driveway where he was hanging out with his friends. The teen, understandably, was frightened, but she pulled on the kidnapper, yelled for her mom, and eventually got hold of the child. And she said that I was really scared. She said, but my instinct was to go and help him. You know, we don't get to cover stories like this very often, and I applaud her sensibility and her heroics. I mean, she put herself in danger. She did the right thing, not because she was going to get rewarded, but because it was the right thing to do. We need people out there who are doing the right thing because it's the right thing, not because of what you can get out of it. We need more people like this. This would make this world so much better. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, Crystal found this story, and it's a great story. What a heroic girl. I mean, as you mentioned, the guy tried to kidnap the little boy, and he was a registered sex offender.
Uh-huh.
And the police said he made sexual comments to the boy as he was like trying to carry him off. And if this girl wasn't there or didn't intervene, who knows what would have happened to this kid?
Oh, yeah.
Probably really awful things.
Yeah, it does say here in the article that murder of an abducted child is rare. A 2006 study concluded that 76.2% of all children that are killed after they've been abducted are dead generally within 3 hours. Within 3 hours of after being abducted.
That's crazy.
The first 3 hours are the most crucial.
That's a scary statistic.
It is. It really is. It really is a scary statistic. Medusa, your thoughts?
Yeah, that is a scary statistic for me because when I watch on TV, you know, usually the perpetrator gets away with the child.
Mm-hmm.
Once I hit that 3-hour mark, I really feel sad. This little girl is a shining example of what we all should do. We all should be.
Yes.
If a little child can stand up to a grown man, he could have killed her as well.
Oh, yes. He could have very easily just took out a knife or a gun or something.
Shoved her onto the pavement and then bashed her head in. He could have taken her as well.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's a possibility, too.
Buy one, get one free day. And I don't know what he was doing in that neighborhood with all of those kids.
Well, he was a pedophile. He was a registered sex offender.
Oh, well, yeah, that's his Starbucks there.
Right.
You know, so much more could have gone terribly wrong. And I hope the city recognizes the child. I know she didn't do it for recognition, but I hope they do recognize her for it because she's a stunning example of what we all should do.
Right.
We all should be in circumstances like that.
Right. And, you know, there is another angle to this that I don't think everybody else has seen, that the reason why this didn't get more national news is because the little boy that was almost kidnapped was a little black child. Because if this had been a little blonde girl that had been saved by...
Oh, my God.
By another child, by an older child, may have, and also, you know, white also... then it would have been a whole different story. This would have been national news. But because it was Save the Little Black Boy, nobody cares. This particular news station did care enough to at least put the story out there. But it's not getting Gardner on national news. And it should be, because this girl did the right thing.
You know, CNN has that program, CNN Heroes. Mm-hmm. And she does deserve to be on that show. But because the little boy was black, she probably won't be.
Right.
That's the sad truth about society.
Yep.
That you brought up, Packard.
Yes. And I know most people don't see that angle, but I see everything from all kinds of angles. So, and this unfortunately, this is just one of those little angles that I picked up on that I don't think anybody else did. What's that?
It's just a commentary on America that you...
Kristen says in the chat room, it was covered on one of her local shows. But so that's good. You know, at least something, there was some recognition at least. But it should have been. I didn't hear about this except through from Crystal, who's not on the show with us tonight, but she is in the chat room. But you know, but that still goes to show that it wasn't a national story.
I was thinking that if this guy is a repeat offender, and after he tried a stunt like this, that you know, like this should be it. Like he should be in prison for life. Because there's no way that he's going to reform or behave himself if they let him out again. Like this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think he's a done deal. He should go away.
Absolutely. I quite agree with you there. He should go
all
away.
Sex offenders.
No. Let's not paint that whole large brush again, you know, because there are some people they get labeled a sex offender and they didn't do anything. There are cases like that where there are people who are labeled that for because they
No, I'm talking wrong place. About the people who actually are convicted.
Well, that's still the right brush, because there's some people get convicted of this of something and the stuff that they have not actually – they didn't do anything wrong.
A broad brush, I'd like to paint them with char and put feathers on them and make a real good example of them.
I understand that. I mean, but the ones who actually did – I can understand it for the ones who've actually done something.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'm talking about the people who, you know, who get accused of something when they didn't actually do anything at all. So, I mean, but just because of the situation, they get labeled that. Because it's so easy today to get put on a sex offender list. Just because they're like, there was a story of a little boy who was in a school, and he went up and he kissed a girl, and he got put on a sex offender list because he did that. Yeah, this was a few years ago. So, yeah, then you would have tarred and feathered that boy, too, for kissing the girl.
No, I would not have.
I know, but you did say to put a tar and feather all of them. So,
well, the ones that are convicted, that's
and he was convicted. He was convicted. They gave him the label of a sex offender. He's convicted of being a sex offender. So
that's plainly wrong.
I understand that's plainly wrong, but that's my whole point.
And I'm not advocating that.
Okay,
I'm advocating people who are properly adjudicated and found by the law to be sex offenders, not little boys that, you know, as you were saying.
I understand that, but that's what I'm saying is you can't paint that broad brush across the whole spectrum like that just for that reason.
Well, I think women feel differently.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, in that instance, but I mean, there are, like I said, there are people who are getting put on the sex offender list because it's so easy to get put on a sex offender list. Nowadays, if a guy looks at a girl or a woman wrong.
Oh, well, you used to be able to get a hug from your science teacher or your English teacher who might be male at school.
Uh-huh.
Teachers can't do that now, you know. They can't show any type of affection towards a child. That goes a long way towards self-esteem.
Yes. So anyway, but I'm saying that, you know, we don't paint everybody like in that instance, because there are some people, because they get put on these lists that the government decided, hey, let's just make up these lists and put everybody that's on it for even the stupidest little things.
Well, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't advocate that.
Yes, I understand that. But these laws that are out there now that put people on these lists, like, it just puts people on there that for sometimes just the stupidest reasons. And it's so easy to get put on one.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I watched a movie called The Woodsman. Kevin Bacon played a sex offender in it.
Yes.
Trying to clean up his life. So I know a lot of people get out and try and reform. They do a good job. But I think that the sex offenders who are repeat offenders.
Okay, repeat offenders. Now, that's a different story. If they are a repeat offender, then I could definitely go with something along those lines. I mean,
I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay, no, that's a good clarification, actually, because if we have someone that has a repeat sex offender, hopefully, you know, that like the story where I told you about where the little boy got put on the sex offender list, hopefully it was taken off. But like I said, it was a few years ago, so I'm not really sure. But it's like I said, it's so easy to get put on one. And if he gets a repeat offended because, you know, he kissed another woman as an adult, I shudder to think what would happen to him. But anyway, anybody else going to get comments on this?
No.
Okay, very good. All right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Tonight's topic, we're going to skip our religious story tonight. We're going to go right into our topic for tonight. And tonight's topic is the angry atheist. Why are we so angry? You know, being an atheist, sometimes we get a little zealous in what we're talking about. But when is too far? When we talk with a Christian or a Muslim or whatever, when is it too far? When we get to such a heated debate that sometimes we have a tendency to step over the line. In our fervor to, you know, help people to see reason and think rationally, sometimes we get angry about it. And because we're expecting them to think about the process the way we did. And when we can't get them to see that, sometimes we get angry. There are good reasons for us to sometimes get angry about something. Like, for example, when religion is pushed into our government, then we get a tendency to get a little uppity about that kind of stuff. Because if you're pushing religion into our government, it doesn't belong there. But on a person-to-person level, it's a whole different subject. And we're going to start the time now. And we're going to put 7 minutes here up on the clock. Here we go. And we're going to start the time now.
Well, I'm an atheist, but not an angry atheist, because I think you get more sugar you get. I can't talk tonight. Let's get this right. I'm not an angry atheist because you can't get an audience when you're being angry with someone. But those darn Christians get you riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Do we all talk at the same time?
No, just keep going, Medusa. Keep going.
Oh, okay. But I think I'm not like other atheists. Most atheists are really in your face. And I don't think you get anywhere with somebody if you denigrate them. So, like for instance, and I keep bringing Muhammad up. His ears must be burning.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe knows Muhammad. Now, I'm sure Muhammad would love it if I would convert to Islam. He'd be jumping up and down. That's just not going to happen, though. I love the outfits, babe, but, you know, I don't like the religious rules there.
Right.
So I tend to be more friendly with Christians and other angry atheists because I think I get my point across in a better situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add on that, Medusa?
No, I'm waiting for somebody to jump in.
Okay.
All right, I'll jump in.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
Am I echoing?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Am I echoing?
No. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you had mentioned people... I am echoing. It's annoying me. You had mentioned when do you go too far in a debate, when you get really angry. I think if you're getting to the point in a debate where you're angry about it, then you should just stop talking. Or if one person says, hey, listen, I don't want to talk about this anymore, then you just drop it.
Right.
But the topic is, when is atheism going too far? And historically, religion has been given a free rein.
Mm-hmm.
Religion spreads its message far and wide with their rituals, TV shows, books, billboards. And the religious message has always given this free pass. It was impolite to question religion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a non-believer, you had to sit down and shut up and just you know, and stop being rude. In medieval times, if you were a non-believer, you had to go so far as to pretend that you did believe, or the Inquisition might burn you at the stake.
Yep.
In some modern day countries, it's still like that. There are atheist bloggers right now in jail on blasphemy charges in Bangladesh.
Yep.
The Muslims in that country are demanding that they be put to death.
Yeah, because they insulted their God.
Right, exactly. So now an atheist group comes along and buys a bus billboard, and they're going too far?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, the days of sit down and shut up are over, I think, and it's time to say it loud, say it proud. I don't believe that stuff, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that right there. That's not what I'm talking about. Being out is something we should, as an atheist, if you can come out, please do. But if you can't, because it's going to ruin your personal life, you could lose your job, your life, or your marriage. Well,
it's happened.
But I'm just saying, don't worry about marriage, because you know you'll find somebody else better. If they
easier said than done.
I know it's easier said than done, but you may find something more compatible then, because you know that it does happen. But
I'm married a Catholic.
So then, what are you talking about, Packard? Going too far?
I'm talking about going too far. I mean, when you're talking to somebody and then you get angry because you said it right there perfectly earlier, that if you're finding yourself getting angry, frustrated, that you're just attacking, and you know,
right,
you're going overboard, way overboard.
Well, then that is too far, because debating is supposed to be a intellectual endeavor. You know, I learn from the people on debating. Hopefully they're learning from me. We're discussing ideas. It's a little bit of chess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a discussion. We're talking about things. Now, some people get really emotional when they talk about that stuff. I've had believers say that I'm attacking them. And I'm like, listen, if you think I'm attacking you, then let's stop talking about it, because I don't really care.
Exactly.
This is all for my own entertainment, really. So,
it's,
you know,
sport.
Exactly. Like, you know, I don't want you, like, you know, crying your eyes out or being pissed off at me. Like, just let's stop talking about it.
I did have a Christian cry one day, and it shocked me, because I wasn't attacking her at all. Mm-hmm. I was attacking mm-hmm. the Bible. And
yeah, some people, when you're talking about their religion, they get really uppity about that. I mean, if you're not even attacking, you're not even attacking them. You're just attacking the religion. And I think personally, that's fair game. If you're attacking them personally, that's a different story. But
right.
Well, people hold their beliefs so deeply that it becomes ingrained. They consider it part of themselves.
Yeah, I know. And they should. I don't think they should.
Beliefs are just ideas.
Right.
Religions are just ideas. And so when you question them, some people feel like, oh, well, you're attacking me personally because this is who I am.
Yeah,
when
no,
really, it's just what your parents told you to believe when you were growing up. So
right, exactly. And this is not who they are, but they take on the persona. They think they're walking around, walking, talking Bibles, which they've never actually, most of them have never actually read. So,
let's say they're into Nietzsche, and they've read everything about Nietzsche, and they believe Nietzsche's a god, and Nietzsche can do no wrong, and you discuss Nietzsche with them, and they lose it.
Yeah, well, you can say that about you can say that about a person with a favorite basketball fan or
yeah,
same thing. Who cares? You know, the season's going to change. You know, you're getting different players. Who cares in the long run? The reason why I guess they hold on to their religion because they think it's going to last forever. Well, it doesn't, because. But like I said, it's not so much about them. It's about us going too far, and that is our time. So this was a very interesting discussion. We may revisit this again sometime in the future. But for right now, if you're out there, if you're an atheist, you know, like everybody here on the show, well, Crystal's not up on the panel tonight, but she's
an honorary atheist.
She's an honorary atheist, right?
Even though she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh, she loves it.
Sorry, sister.
She always says she's our talking atheist, as it were. That description doesn't even fit. But if you're an atheist out there and you're having a discussion with some of these religious people, I mean, unless they really start pushing and they're just way off the nut, then then you can be angry all you want. But otherwise, the most general public out there, Medusa said it also, you attract more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, although I think that's reverse, actually. But you got to be, some of these people, you have to teach them with kid gloves. I mean, talk about it, yes, but don't attack, you know, because mm-hmm. some people, they will not respond to it.
And if they don't want to talk about it, then you leave it at that.
And then just... Because
it's
drop it.
You but if they bring it up on somebody.
But if they bring it up, then
if they bring it up or ask your opinion,
then
and then you offer it, and then they turn around and say you're attacking them. No,
No, I completely agree with you there. So if they offered your opinion or they offer to discuss it with you, that's a whole other issue. But you know, there's a lot of people that say go out and preach atheism. Well, there are those people out there too. And I have no problem with that. If they're just generally talking, like on Twitter there, they actually, you know, they say some pretty bold things out there. And a lot of it I agree with. Some of it I don't, but 90% of it I do. But it's some of it I just find funny. But that's just because I have a weird sense of humor.
Oh, they hate that.
Yes, I know. So
don't laugh at them.
Right. Well, there's an old saying. If you don't want your beliefs laughed at, don't have funny beliefs. That's simple. That simple. All right. Anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. And tonight's funny tweet comes from Fake Greg Ball. We talked about Greg Ball last week, and there is a fake Greg Ball account, and he says, spring is here. What better time to get in shape and pay attention to my billboard with cock and balls on it? I mean... pay attention to your health. We covered Greg Ball last week. He's a total nut job. And Joe actually found this tweet, and it was just so funny. I just had to put it up there because it just spoke to the fact that Greg Ball is a nut job. And Joe's talked about this in our meetings, that he's actually there. People go up and they put swastikas on his billboards, and they put cock and balls on his.
Oh, yeah, they vandalized the shit out of his billboards.
Yeah.
I didn't really think this tweet was that funny. I just wanted to hear you say cock and balls.
Oh, you just want to hear you say cock and balls.
It worked.
Well, cock and balls, Joe. There, you got three out of there, so here we go.
I've been getting a lot of cock and balls out of your mouth tonight.
Oh, God,
terrible.
Please.
Terrible. All right, well, let's get into our next topic for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from me, and our shout-out is for Atheist Wonka. That's Atheist. That's A-T-H-E-I-S-T-W-W-O-N-K-A. This is kind of a parody account of another Twitter account that's out there. Actually, Joe kind of found this one, so I read some of his tweets, and I thought, well, this guy is funny. He really needs to be shouted out. Joe, can you tell me a little bit about this, a little bit more, our viewers, a little bit about this, please? Why it's a parody account?
There was a condescending walking account that was going around on Twitter, and they made a tweet about atheists not reading the Bible, and it would get retweeted like every now and then. It would tweet it. It was like a bot. It was an automatic account. And every time it would tweet it, it would get a million retweets. And, like, my tweet deck would blow up. I'd have my entire column for that. It would just be filled with that tweet. And it would just go on and on and on all day long. And it annoyed the crap out of everybody, because all the atheist community would, like, try and say things to him, like, oh, yeah, well, I have read the Bible. And it's a bot, so he's not responding to anyone. Well, finally, an atheist made a condescending Atheist Wonka account. And the tweets are very similar. They're condescending, and they're very funny.
Yes. Yeah, I read some of them. They were very funny. It was just hilarious.
He followed me the other day. I was so excited.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Yeah, I squealed.
Oh,
because
wee
like in Deliverance.
Yeah.
No, but I
won't even go there.
Because condescending Wonka follows me.
Ah. Oh, you followed condescending Wonka. Okay. I thought you were talking about the atheist Wonka followed you.
Tell condescending Wonka to go fuck himself.
Will do. What about condescending atheist Wonka?
Yeah, that's cool.
If you want to get in contact with us, and we're all over the place, you can find us on Twitter and Gmail and Facebook and all kinds of neat places. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give you all that information on how to contact us right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week as PackardPokesAt on Twitter and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts who enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can also listen to the show on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. While you're there, don't forget to snap on the Focus on Photography group. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you, Joe. Boy, are you out of breath? Talking so fast. How did you get all that music in there?
He's from New York City.
Yeah. Well, if you want to come to the show, we are on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt, all one word, Friday nights, 9 p.m. But if you want to catch all the past shows that we've ever done, and they're on Mixler Radio, that's MIXLR.com/Packard-Pokes-At. And it has all the shows that we've done from the beta podcast all the way to the most recent one. I do apologize this last week. It was down, and due to my busy schedule, I did not realize it was down, so I was unable to attend to it properly. But it is back up, and it is on live. So go and take a listen. There's a place there you can put comments and leave a heart. You know, press a heart. It's like a like button for the radio. So leave a comment, press the button, and hopefully you'll take a listen to all of – you'll be able to listen to all the shows we've ever actually ever done. All right. Well, that's it for us tonight. So I want to thank everybody for coming to the show. We had a lot of new people in the chat room, and thank you for joining us tonight. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Hooray! Contradictions in the Bible. According to the Bible, are you to honor thy parents? In Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you." Then Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you." But Matthew 15:4 says, "For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." So you curse your parents and be executed. But in Matthew 10:35 through 37, it then says, "For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." So, what exactly happened to honor your father and mother? But then, Luke 12:51-53 says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." So, this is commanding division, parent against child. Did you like that, kids? Hooray! Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.